Today, I'm just going to have one reading for us. You know, a lot of times I'll do a scripture reading and then another reading that in some ways makes a commentary on the scripture reading. I think it'll be clear eventually why I'm not doing a second reading. Hopefully before we finish, you get why I'm only doing one reading. So the reading today does come from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. This is the story of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. And while the whole crowd kind of stood around on the beach, he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell on the among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. If you have ears, hear." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words.
Bye.
reminder that right after the message, we'll have a brief period of silence, and then we'll go into musical meditation. Just so no one's surprised by the silence there. A lot of times, from time to time, I do like to just tell a story as my sermon, and that's partly what we're going to do today. The message today is entitled, If You Have Ears, Hear. I'm actually going to tell two stories. One's much shorter than the other. A king came to Buddha with an offering of flowers in his hands, and Buddha looked at him and said, drop it. Now, the king couldn't believe he was being asked to drop the flowers. Then it occurred to him that perhaps Buddha was asking him to drop the flowers in his left hand, since to offer something to someone with their left hand was considered inauspicious and impolite. So, he dropped the flowers in his left hand. Buddha said to him, drop it. This time the king was so unnerved by Buddha's request that he simply dropped all the flowers and stood before Buddha empty-handed. Buddha smiled at him and said, drop it. Perplexed, he asked Buddha, what is it that I am supposed to drop? Not the flowers, my son, said Buddha, but the one who brought them. So if you get the point of such a story, you might have had a chance of getting the point of the parable of the sower when Jesus first taught it. You might have, but probably not. You see, the kind of stories that Jesus told, he probably never explained. In our story today, he taught from a boat, but not infrequently he would find a hill or a mound to stand on, and then he would tell a story. And at times, folks must have thought the man on the hill was a bit off his rocker, because sometimes the meaning of the stories just wasn't immediately obvious. Now, we didn't read verses 18 through 23 from that chapter, which are a rather, I would say, convoluted interpretation of the parable that I read, and scholars pretty much agree that the explanation that it gives was probably just Matthew's own editorial comments and not the actual words of Jesus. Because obviously the story isn't about agriculture or efficient gardening practices. Jesus was telling people a story in order to get them to talk about it, to think about something else. And the problem is, in typical fashion, he doesn't actually tell us what that something else is. Apparently, according to Matthew and others, he meant to do exactly that. He meant to make it difficult. He frequently spoke in parables with the intent to sort of tease the mind into the insight for those who were willing to listen well. Something like Buddha saying, drop it. So, for the next little bit, forget all of those edifying sermons that you have heard about this very familiar story of the sower and the seed, and with all of those neat explanations, those logical explanations of what really happened to all of those seeds. Forget about the judgment that we all sometimes load into this parable as we label some good seed and a good soil and some bad soil. Forget it all. Before Jesus began the story, he said, listen. When he finished, he said, if you have ears, hear. People look and look, but never see, he says to us. They listen and listen, but never understand. And I believe that what he's saying when he says listen, he's telling us to not only listen to him, but to the part of ourselves that is connected to God, to the divine wisdom within. So, hear the story of the sower and the seed again for the first time. But this time from the perspective of the bad soil. This is my edited version of the story by Jeff Krantz. Listen. Once upon a time, there was a rock. The rock had stood alone and proud at the top of a mountain for as long as anyone could even remember. It was bleak and cold and windy at the top of the mountain. But the rock liked it that way. Up here, the rock was king. He could see all of the colors of the valley below him, but it was, after all, below him, formed in the heat of the earth, hardened beneath tons of other rock. He needed nobody. Though the rock was enormously strong, the mountain it sat upon was not. And during the heavy rains, it melted away beneath him, and he began to fall and fall. Down and down he fell, farther and farther, until he came to rest in the valley. He longed so for the old perch high atop the mountain that he couldn't even hear. He longed for it so much he couldn't even hear the calls of the birds or appreciate the new warmth of the sun that he had found. After a long while, though, the rock began to enjoy the warmer and milder winds. He watched as the fields produced its flowers and its grains. He watched the cycle of growth, the sowing of the seeds, the sprouting of the shoots, then coming of the new life each spring as the sower sowed his seeds again. And as the years passed, the rock began to wish that he might take part in the growing, that he might be permitted to produce grain on his own. And each year, the sower sowed the seeds. And then one year, some seeds actually fell on the rock, but no sooner than the seeds had fallen, the birds came and snatched them away. Year after year, he watched as the sower scattered the seeds, covering him as well as covering the fields, but the seeds that fell on the rock, well, he felt as if they were wasted. At least he thought, though, the birds were dead. Year after year, he was frustrated, longing to be more and more, longing more and more that he might be able to hold on to the grain. And year after year, his heart was broken. Strange, he thought, I didn't know I had a heart to break. But there was something else that he didn't know. It wasn't only that his heart was breaking. That horrible crashing down the mountainside had sent so many tiny cracks through his impregnable rockiness. And each year, as the fall rains failed, they crept into those tiny crevices. And each year, as the water froze, they widened the cracks a little more. Then one year, when the snows came and the water froze, the rock felt itself splitting and splitting and splitting. And he wept as he felt his vaunted strength being sundered by the tiny droplets of water. And when the spring thaw came, well, he just fell apart. Tiny parts of the rock fell all over the field. The rock was so ashamed. He had never felt so low, so weak. And much worse than that, each year, the pieces grew smaller and smaller until they were only tiny grains of sand. The sower kept sowing his seeds, the soil kept growing its grain, the harvest kept coming each year. Then, after he'd grieved enough, when the spring came again, the rock thought, hey, this year I may have been brought low, but at least I might keep the seed. And indeed, as the seeds settled to the earth, some fell on the rock, or rather amongst the tiny pieces of them. And lo and behold, when the birds came, they could not find the seeds. And when the rains came, the seeds began to sprout. And the shoots grew up, and the rock loved them and cherished them. And the sun got hotter and hotter, warming the rock, but scorching the tiny plants. And they withered and died. And the rock wept again. His heart broken again. The love of the tiny seeds. Year followed upon year, freeze upon freeze, reducing the rock to tinier and tinier pieces, enabling to hold a little more of the rain. And each year, the sower would come sowing the seeds again and again. As the years passed, something else was happening. Unseen by the rock, the remains of the tiny shoots were mixing with the tiny bits of rock and decay. And each year, this new matter mixed with bits of rock grew thicker and healthier. And each year, as the rock grieved the death of the tiny shoots, he grew more and more fertile. And then the springtime came when the rock had grown small and unnoticeable enough. And he had lost enough of his tiny shoots that he was fertile. It had almost given up hope. Each year the shoots had grown a little taller, but still they had failed and died. And this year, they seemed to grow taller still. Was he mistaken, or were they truly taller than they had ever been? Were those tiny heads of grain forming at the top of the shaft, were those more of the blessed seeds forming and waving to the world in its soft winds? Yes, they were. His tiny seeds were bearing fruit. The rock looked about. Look at me. I am growing seeds. I am bearing fruit. Then he realized that he was now so small and soft that he was no longer visible. He was so filled with the old matter left from his disappointments of old that his color and his texture were gone. And for the tiniest of moments, he was tempted to weep. No one would ever see that he had borne fruit. No one that is. No one but the sower. A man once came to Buddha with an offering of flowers in his hands. Buddha looked at him and said, "Drop it. If you have ears, hear." Thank you.
The actors and jesters are here. The stage is in darkness and clear. We're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain what play is. How long ago, how long, if you listen then, if we know just how right we were going to be, for we dreamed a lot, and we schemed a lot, and we tried to see above before the stage fell apart. Your costume today, and who are the props in your play? You're acting a part which you thought from the start was an honest one. Well, how do you plead an actor indeed? Go, we learn your minds. You know what you've done. The banalities begun. If everyone was listening, you know, there'd be a chance that we could save the show.
Enter into a moment of more inward turned spiritual focus. As I always say, use this as prayer or a meditation or accept the words that you need right now in this moment. So breathe in, breathe out, bow your heads with me. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun shines and rises upon the just and unjust. May we share love as indiscriminately as the rains and sunshine do. We remember those we all too frequently judge as bad soil. May we not only recognize the error in our ways, but may we befriend those whom we may have once judged. May we recognize that in judging the good soil, and from the bad soil, we overlook those in need and place ourselves above others. May we be reminded of the sower who sows the same good seed to everyone equally, and that we are called to do the same. May we listen and hear, and in hearing, become sowers of love in the world, a people who produce abundant fruit. Amen. Receive this charge. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and actions bring that love and happiness to all that you meet.
Thank you.